power of worship. So funny, I was on Facebook this morning, one of my pastor friends, top of his message this morning was praise and worship. So I like we're on the same page this morning. It's amazing how that happens. Worship's a powerful thing, and when we think of worship, we all have a different view of worship. When I say worship, Melanie, what do you think about? Oh, it's okay. Giving God your all. Kelly, what do you think about when I say worship? What comes to mind? Praising the Lord. We can praise the Lord in many ways. You know, I don't know if anybody watched the Cubs game last night. It's pretty incredible. They made history. First time in the World Series in 71 years. They were at Wrigley Field, and they closed out Game 6, and it was so amazing, and it was a very emotional moment for the Cubs fans. When the game, anybody watch the end of the game? Anybody in here watch the end of the game? At the end of the game, you started hearing them sing about the Cubs. Go Cubs. Or it was like almost a melody. You hear the whole stadium singing a Cubs song. And it was very moving. There were people crying. There were people very emotional. Because these fans, had, you know, they were thinking about their grandfather and their father who never lived to see that moment. And for them, it was very historical. It was a very historical moment in sports. I know a lot of you don't like sports, but it was a very historical moment in the world of baseball. And as I was watching that scene last night close out, people crying, people dancing, people laughing, people high-fiving, people throwing whiskey over the back of their shoulder, you know, whatever they were doing. Instead of one of the bars, they're throwing whiskey back in the crowd. They're just going crazy. And I'm like, you know, wow. You know what they're doing? They're giving their all. And they're surrendering their all. And they're edifying, and they're lifting up a team above their own selves even. And when we worship God, what we're doing is we're lifting Him above ourselves. We're exalting Him above our own measure. We're exalting Him above our own circumstance. We are truly surrendering, saying, You are above all, and You're in all, and You're through all, and You're everything, and You're all things. Worship's important. Worship, far as church setting goes, is not just a filler time until the word comes. Worship is part of the service. We're going to talk about it. Go to the next slide, Brandon. What is worship? We'll find out in just a second. Worship. To bow down, to crouch, to fall down, to beseech, to reverence, to adore. Think about that. You know what crouching down does? Why that? It's such a physical act of humility. That's why kings of the lands, they bow down to the kings, right? It's an act of humility. It's an act of surrender that God, I am less than You. And I'm giving You that kudos that I'm so less than You. In the Old Testament, when they would actually worship, in many cases, they would lie flat on the ground. Now, I know some of you can't get back up, so don't try this at home. Lie flat on the ground with their face on the ground. Now, I want you to picture this, all right? Physically laying on the ground, flat, with your face down. You know what? That's as low as you can physically get. It's saying, Lord, I'm surrendering to the lowest point that I can to show You that You are the highest point I can attain. Worship. Yes. Next slide. This is Matthew 4:10. We will talk about types of worship and results of worship as we go through this message this morning. So hang with me. This will transform our lives. Matthew 4:10. Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. If we could get as excited about worshiping God as we do other things. Yes. I mean, if we could get excited as God as we do the Pittsburgh Steelers, as we do Dale Earnhardt Jr., as we do any country singer or rock star, yes, or movie star or Brad Pitt who ain't got nothing on Christ, right? But we get so caught up in the world, and you may think, I'm not worshiping them, but Did you know I saw church? Honestly, a friend of mine sent me a message. They've got Cub tickets on sale for the World Series. Have you seen the prices? They actually have some seats available. $995,000 a seat. And when the plate passes around, y'all give $10. Oh, my God, I'm going to die. I gave $10 to church. I'm just saying, it's amazing how we exalt other things. $1 million for a baseball ticket? Talking about some worship. I mean, Melly wouldn't even do that for New Kids in the Block backstage passes. I hope she wouldn't. I'm like, man, $1 million for a ticket. So we come to the house of the Lord, or whether it's in your private time, God should be the center of our attention. Above everything. Worship does so much in our personal lives if we take time to experience that. Go to the next verse. This is John 4:21. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. For we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, that when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Right. Leave it on that verse for a minute, Brandon. Spirit and truth. You know what that means? Jesus saying, see, before grace came, men worshiped out of the law. And they worshiped through traditions passed down by men. And they went through all the motions. And sometimes we're guilty of just going through the motions. Right. We sing three songs. We preach for 45 minutes. We receive an offering. We play a closeout song. We say a little prayer and we go home. And we go through the formality of motions without any transformation taking place. When we understand who we're worshiping and why we're worshiping Him, we worship Him in spirit and in truth. Spirit means we don't worship Him out of obligation or legalism, but we worship Him out of a pure heart. We worship God because we want to worship God. You ever text me out to lunch, say, "I got your lunch today"? You don't do it because you have to. You don't do it because, you know, just, you do it because you want to. Right. "I'm buying you lunch today." No, I got it. I want to do this. God, I want to worship you, not because the singers, you know, are telling me to, not because the preacher's looking at me, why I ain't raising my hands, not because, you know, I feel like I have to because I'm in the house of God, but no, God, I worship you, I lift my hands, I close my eyes, I raise my voice, simply because I want to give you praise. I want to demonstrate my love towards you. It is my gift unto you, God. It's my offering. It's what I present to you. My sacrifice of praise. The lips that come, the words come off my lips unto you. It's what I do because I want to do it. I have a desire to worship you. And that's what Jesus is saying. There's an hour coming when you're going to worship me because of who I am and because of what I've done. When we realize that we are saved by the grace of Jesus and the penalty of sin, death, hell, and the grave no longer stands between us and our destiny, we've got something to give God praise for. To know I don't deserve it, but He did it anyway. To know I was in death, but now I'm in life. To know I was lost, but now I am found. That gives us something to praise God about. We wouldn't be all so silent if we knew that. But it's not about going through the legalistic motions. It's about a relationship with our Savior. Just like you have with your wife or with your children. You love your children even when they're complete idiotic knuckleheads. You love them. In their poor decisions, you love them. In their anger rages, you love them. And they're sassing and rolling their eyes, you love them. You might want to slap their eyeballs out of their head, but you do it with love. You just can't help but love your kids. You just can't help but love your spouse. You just can't help but love mama and love daddy. You know why? Because that love is in your spirit. It's in your heart. We don't love God because we have to. We love God because we have a desire to love God. Because we praise Him. "Lord, I love you because I just love you. I don't have to raise my hands, but I do because I love you. I don't have to dance before you out of obligation, but I dance because my feet tell me you are worthy of my dance. You are worthy of my song. You are worthy of my praise. You are worthy of my voice. You are worthy, God," knowing who we serve. loving him. See, we need a generation who fall in love with God. Fall in love, not just know about him, but know him. Not just know about what he did, but know who he is. Glory. For the Father, look at what it says, he is seeking. It's his desire we worship him. God is seeking a people to worship him, to love him, to adore him, to exalt him, to lift him up. He desires that. Next scripture. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him, there it is again, in spirit. In other words, from the inner part of our heart, and we must worship him in truth. What is the truth? That grace has set us free. That he fulfilled the law, that he died for our sins. We've heard songs about it all morning. He died for our sins. He took our place. I saw a post when my friend shared. He's a minister. He shared his post, and it really spoke to me. All the post said was, shame off you. Instead of shame on you, shame off you. I thought that's a whole message right there. Shame off you. That's exactly what Christ did. Took the shame off of us. He bore that for us. Go to the next slide. The purpose of worship, to honor, to glorify, to praise, to exalt, and to please God. Once again, look at the world. Look at any concert. Look at any sporting event. Look at any other secular venue, and you will find people worshiping. How many concerts you've been to where they say this from the stage? Okay, everybody, do this. Raise your hands in the air. Act like you just don't care. You know, and everybody's the whole Coliseum is swaying. I mean, it's amazing how people will totally go all out for what they have a desire for. If we have a desire for God, like we do those things, y'all will be coming in the back door on Sunday mornings, and I'll be coming back there. I'm coming in the house of the Lord. I'm not going to be bored. I'm going to raise my hands in the air because Jesus Christ, I declare. I mean, she'll be just, you know, because she knows why she's here. Yeah, go, Anna. Go, Anna. Go, Anna. I mean, wow. We're to exalt them. Next slide. Now, I love this. Look at this. Look what worship does. Worship positions the heart to receive, the eyes to see, and the mind to comprehend the will of God. That's what worship does, because it opens up our heart for the word and his revelation to come forth, because we're open to it. It opens our eyes to see of what we are worshiping, and it opens our minds to understand and comprehend and hear what the will of God is. That's why it's important we spend time in worship, that we do know what the will of God is, that we hear from God clearly, we see God clearly, we know what he wants us to do, we have that clear direction in our lives. Worship does this. Next slide. How do we worship? We'll go through some types of worship. Go ahead, Brandon. Number one, through song. We know that. We worship through song. Remember, the reason we sing, church, it's not because we want to showcase Marjorie, she is the bomb, and we appreciate that. It's not to showcase my beautiful wife, has a great voice, I understand that. Not to showcase Christy or Chuck and Jewel or Bruce when he's here or whoever. It's not to showcase anybody. The reason we sing songs is part of the way we incorporate our worship. It's not about being entertained. It's not about being spectators. It's about being participators in the worship of God. And that's why I love hearing your voices. It's so beautiful. And I love when Marjorie backs off the singing and I hear y'all. That's beautiful to hear the congregation singing. That's what we're doing. How do we worship through songs? Scripture for this. Psalms 101. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. A shout. Once again, go back to a venue. I've been to games, live games. They're crazy. They're a great atmosphere. Even Melanie likes the atmosphere. Don't like really sports, but she likes the atmosphere. They're great. I've been to Panther games, right? And they get a first down, and the whole auditorium, I mean the whole Coliseum, and the announcer, it's another Panther, and everybody does this, first down, and does the hand like that. First down. Why? Jesus is Lord. I mean, think about how we demonstrate our fun everywhere else, But in the house of God, Pastor, we must be irreverent. Reverent. What is, you know what? We're going to talk about what reverence is. Reverence is doing this. Go, God. Go, God. Go, God. Go, God. That's reverence. Giving him the praise. Next verse, talking about singing. Serve the Lord with gladness. Gladness. We don't do this. Yeah, hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Time for the preacher to end. 12 o'clock. Oh, my gosh. 12 o'clock. Excuse me. 11 o'clock. That might be prophetic. Come before his presence with singing. The children of Israel, as they marched out of Egypt, what were they doing? Singing. They were singing praises unto God because they had been set free from slavery. They sung. We know our history in this country, the days of slavery. The slaves would sing in the fields. Sing unto God. They would praise God as they tilled the ground. And as they worked and labored, they would sing unto the Lord. Yes. Part of their worship. Yes. So when we come together to sing, we're not just singing because it's Sunday morning and we're supposed to sing. We're singing not to each other. We're singing unto God. Right. And what's important about that is as we sing, you know what we're doing? We're hearing the words we're singing. And all of a sudden, the words become alive. Because we're hearing what we are singing. The moon and stars, they wept. We start hearing those words. But forever he is risen. Forever he is alive. And as we sing those words, all of a sudden we're reminded, my God, he is forever alive. Which means I will never die. Which means I will have joy and peace and power when I walk out of this place today. The singing reminds us what he is and who he is. That's why it's important that we sing. Next verse. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. The one thing I hate seeing, I think it's sacrilegious, I think it's unreverent, I hate it. And I'm a sports fan, but I hate this. When you see signs in the stand, and so-and-so we trust, that drives me crazy. In Rothenberger we trust. In Romo we trust. And that's so sacred. No, really? In God, church, yes. We trust. Yes. And only God. Right. We don't trust in any other name, any other authority, any other place but God. He is the head of every power, every principality, every authority. He is the head of all things. The Bible tells us that. And there is no other. Next point, Brennan. We praise him through the dance. Thank you, Jesus. Through the dance. Now, for some folks, that scares them because they ain't never seen that happen. And they think that's so, ooh. Once again, how many people dance outside the church? Right. How many dance in their car at traffic lights? You ever see them in their car? All shaking up in their car. Dance everywhere they go. I mean, we go to a wedding reception, we dance, you know. When we go to different class reunion, you may dance. My dad went to his class reunion. I won't tell you how many years it was, but it was on up there. And he went to the class reunion a couple weeks ago, and I said, did you mom get out and dance? Dad says, Lord, no, we didn't dance. Some of came get out of chair. I was like, okay then. Because, see, I went to my 20th, and we had dance and everything, you know. And I got there, and Melanie wouldn't dance with me, so I had to dance with some of my classmates. Females, of course. And I got to clarify that these days. And But a tickle me when Dad said that. But most places, you know, we dance everywhere else. Why not dance before the Lord? Well, that ain't scripture. We're supposed to be quiet and holy and still before the Lord. Because the Bible says, be still. And no, and you make a whole doctrine off that. Let's read what the scripture says. Let, Psalms 149:3, let them praise his name with the dance. Let them praise his name with the dance, church. Let them sing praises with the timbrel and the harp. Go to the next one. This is Psalms 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Keep going, Brennan. Go with me fast here. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Look, praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet, with the lute, with the harp, with the keyboard, with the guitar, whatever we have today. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and with flutes or harmonicas. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him. Oh, y'all don't like, y'all old folks don't like this. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Ooh, lightning and thunder. Praise Him with those things. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Every person that hath breath ought to be praising the Lord. Glory to God. That is what we're called to do for His greatness, and He's worthy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go to the next. Then we praise Him with thanksgiving. You know what thanksgiving does? It begins to remind us of all that we do have instead of what we don't have. We can all get on our pitiful wagons, can't we? We can get all the things we don't have, all the things that we're going through, all the things that we're suffering. But then after Dad told me something couldn't get up to even have a chair to dance, I started feeling pretty healthy. Like I could have a chair and dance, praise God. Me and Mel did this test one day at home. We're weird. I saw something on Facebook that says, what kind of shape are you in? That if you can sit on the floor and get up without using your hands, you are in really good shape. And if not, it could be indicated for a medical condition. So me and Mel had gotten the floor. And we both got up on our own with no hands. I was like, hallelujah, I'm healthy. I had to think about it, though, because think about it. You know, you're sitting down, and you got to try to figure out, okay, really think about it. How do I get up?
You can't use your hands.
You can't use your hands, right. So you have to, we sat flat. Then we rolled up on our knees, and then we pushed ourselves up off our knees without our hands. I was quite impressing myself. Wasn't you, Melanie?
I wasn't.
No, with you. Anyway. We praise Him through thanksgiving. That's why I love that song. And Melanie, of course, knows that song, I've Been Blessed. It begins to remind us, church, how blessed that we are. We may have a little back pain. We may have a little this going on. We may live paycheck to paycheck and even, not even paycheck to paycheck. But look at all the other things that we have that we are so blessed. So blessed. Here's some scriptures on Thanksgiving, how we worship. Philippians 4:16, be anxious, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And then look what happens in verse 7, we do this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So as we begin to give God thanks and give our needs and requests to Him, He then pours back in return that peace that we need. He may not give us the answer, church, but He gives us the peace while we're waiting on the answer. He gives us peace. We worship through thanksgiving. You know, we pray over our food, or we should as Christians, because we're thanking Him for our food. We're thanking Him for providing it. We pray at night, thanking Him for keeping us safe another day. We wake up in the mornings, God, I thank You for waking me up this morning. God, I thank You that my kids come home safe from school. God, I thank You that, my wife, my husband's home from work. God, I thank You. As we begin to give God thanksgiving, it takes away all the junk that we think we don't have, and it's a reminder of all that we do have. We are so blessed. Next slide. Now, I don't expect no shouting on this. That's okay. Just listen. Y'all was real Pentecostal for about 10 minutes, but this will change everything. We worship through our giving. You know, giving of our first fruits, and I don't care what any of us say. I was thinking about this morning. I think if I pass the offering plate around, and some of y'all had to give $1,000 to one of your kids up, I think I'd get some kids in the plate. Just playing. I just say it. Sometimes it's really hard to let go of that. Because it is the most, it's the thing we hang on to the very most, because it's what we live for, it's what we work for. And it's one of the hardest things for us to let go of. Look what the Bible says about how we worship through giving and what God expects. Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? It's pretty strong words, isn't it? You have robbed me. Wow. You say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Now here's the purpose here. Why do we give? It tells us here. Number one, that there may be food in my house. We understand the church could not function without finance, which means there would be no altar. There would be no one hearing the good news of the gospel. There would be no drawing of the Holy Spirit unto salvation. There would be no healings. There would be no deliverances. There would be no encouraging. There would be no hope. So the storehouse of God must be met. And then he says this, try me now. The regular King James says, I think, prove me or test me now. If the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the window of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. God's making a promise to us in here. Goes on to say in verse 11, not only will he open up the windows of heaven, but he'll do this. And I love verse 11 as much as I love verse 10. I will rebuke the devourer for your name's sake. I'll come against them. In other words, I'll stand. And some people think, well, is that saying that we're trying to buy God's blessings? It's not saying that at all, church. It's part of our worship. As we surrender that money to him, it shows God that our heart is trusting him more than it's trusting what we can do. We're showing faith in him. I will rebuke the devourer, so he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And then one more scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 7. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart. In other words, God wants us to give out of desire of our heart. He says, not grudgingly, not necessity, for God loves a cheerful. A cheerful giver. As we raise our hands and praise him, as we sing songs and praise him, as we clap our hands, as we dance in the spirit, all those things are parts of worship. So is our giving. In the Old Testament, it was a very sacred thing as they brought forth their fruits, their cattle, their sacrifice to present to the priest. It was a holy thing, and it's still a holy thing. So we worship through our giving. So as you're giving this morning, understand that's part of your worship to God. God, I thank you. That's why we pray over our offering. You know, every week we pray, God, use it for your glory. Bless the hand that sows it, according to what your word Malachi says. Next scripture. Through prayer. We worship through prayer. Got some verses here. Matthew 7:7. Ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. For everyone that asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. He who knocks, it will be opened. Yes. We worship through prayer, making our petition known, and then believing God for the answer. That's prayer. Prayer is giving it to God and believing him to work it out. That's part of our worship, whether it's in church we pray, whether it's, you know, in our quiet time, in our car, in our home. Prayer is a key importance of our worship. Next slide. The lifting of our hands. Part of our worship, and I use Matthew this morning as a demonstration of how when our hands are lifted, we're unable to do anything else. It's an act of surrender. It's when an officer tells you to raise your hands, why is he doing that? So you can't do anything else. Lift your hands. Higher. Get them high so I can't see them. I can see them. Because it reduces the threat of what he or she can do to that officer. They can't do anything. When a kid in class needs a question, he raises his hand. An act of surrender. It's an act of need. An act of surrendering to that authority. I'm lifting my hands to let you know I've got a question. The Bible talks many, I only picked three verses in this, but there's many places that talk about the lifting of our hands. And many churches doesn't practice this, or some think it's odd or weird. But once again, it's very spirit, very scriptural. Let's look at what Psalm says. Psalms 134:2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. There's something, church, about when we lift our hands. It so breaks any pride you may have. I just want to get real with that. Because, once again, none of us would have any issue, any, if you were in a room and I said the first one to stand and lift both hands will get $1,000 right now. Unless you couldn't lift your hands. We'll take that into account. We'd have you stand up. But if you could lift your hands, don't tell me you would sit there. Well, I ain't going to lift my hands. I'm too embarrassed. Heck no. Give me a 1,000 G. I'm down for that. That's right. All of us would lift our hands for anything else. So as we come to sanctuary, we lift our hands not as an act of showmanship, but as an act of us getting in our zone to worship God. Shutting everything else out around us and focusing on hearing what he wants to do for us and about us giving him the praise that he is due. Next verse, Psalms 141:2. Let my prayer be set before you as incense. Look at this, as incense. And the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Once again, all throughout the Old Testament, this was a very common practice of them lifting their hands. Whether they were bowed or whether they were standing, they would raise their hands toward the heavens. King Solomon in 1 Kings 18 or 8, somewhere there, talked about that he stood before the altar in the congregation, his hands spread toward heaven. When Moses parted the Red Sea, what happened? He raised his hand toward the sky. An act of surrenderance. And it humbles us when we do that. Because we're kind of vulnerable. That's what God wants. He really does. Next verse. 63:4 in Psalms. Thus I will bless you while I live, and I will lift up my hands in your name. I'll lift up my hands in your name because of who you are. Christian sings a song, Who Am I? And I love that song, you know. It says, not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. Think about that. Who am I? That's why we worship God. That's why we praise God. As they saw Jesus crucified on the cross, and I brought this up. I don't think Rodney was here when I brought this up Wednesday or just recently. He sings that song, Watch the Lamb, every Easter. At the very end of that song, if you remember, the little boy lost the lamb, and the father looked at the little boy and says, it's okay, turn around. Son, watch the lamb. Act of worship as they bow down, realizing that that was their object of worship. See, God has to be the object of our worship. Yes. He has to be intentionally, on purpose, the object of our worship. He's got to be lifted above all things and above everything. And there's so many distractions and voices to try to depress that. We got to press through that and say, nobody's going to stop me from getting my praise on with God. Right. Nobody's going to interrupt that time I have with God. Because that's vital, critical time. And if we don't have that time, church, then we see the effects of that. We're more miserable. We're more depressed. We're more angry. We don't have the same kind of peace or same kind of joy. We don't have the same bump in our step. We don't have the same words in our mouth. We change because we've not spent time with him. Next slide. These are just six things. There's more we could go through, but these are six things that I picked out of ways we worship God through song, through dance, through thanksgiving, through giving, through prayer, through lifting of hands. Ways that we can worship the Lord. And why is this important? I mean, why is worshiping God so important? Worshiping God doesn't change him, but it sure changes us. Church, it changes us. When we go before God and we are burdened and we begin to worship God, all of a sudden that burden lifts. You know why? Because as we magnify, the word magnify means to make bigger, to enlarge. As we magnify God, he becomes bigger and larger than what we're facing, than what we're in, than our storm, than our problem. He becomes bigger. When we see our storm, all we see is the size of that. But when we start worshiping God, we see the size of Him. And we're reminded, God, you were in a lion's den one time, and that worked out. And you were at the Red Sea one time, and that worked out. And you were three Hebrew children one time, and that worked out. And you were Joseph and Samson one time, and that worked out. And God, you were with Lazarus, and that worked out. So God, you are bigger than any lion's den, any fiery furnace, any tomb. You are bigger than all of those things. We magnify Him as we worship. All of a sudden, the chains that's bound us begin to come off of us. And we become free. Free. We feel a cleansing. Because we may feel like we're in a bad place. Our lives didn't really right. And maybe we're in some sin that we know we shouldn't be in. And as we worship God, He begins to cleanse us again and give us that bath of refreshing that makes us realize, I'm cleansing you again. Making it right again. He lifts off what we're carrying. Worship is critical in our walk with God. Yes. I encourage you throughout the week, you can worship in many ways. As you sing in your kitchen or as you pray at night or, you know, as we talked about, if you just, you know, just dance before the Lord. I mean, be at home and just as you're listening to music, just begin to dance before Him. Or without music, dance before Him and just see what happens. I'm going to tell you, it's pretty hard to dance before the Lord and then lead the same way. I mean, you dance your way out of it. You dance your way out of the storm. You dance your way out of the shackles. You dance your way out of that. Worship. Surrendering everything to God. Marjorie, come on up here and get something ready to play. There's something that when we take time to just exalt God and tune everything else out. See, church, I know it's hard. The average attention span is like 3 minutes for a human being. See, if y'all to hang 45 minutes on Sunday morning is amazing. I get that. 3 minutes is about the maximum somebody's going to get. And you're thinking about something else. If we would learn to shut all of that out and for the moment in time just hear what God has to say and not rush God. Sometimes we want to rush God. I hear people all the time, yeah, my preacher boy, he was long. We got out 12:10. Oh, my God. No, you didn't. So you spend 90 minutes a week in church, and that's too much. Oh, my goodness. It amazes me how we will spend 3.5 hours watching a football game, sometimes 2 football games on Sunday, 7 hours of football, and want both of them to go in overtime. So we watch more football. But when we come to worship God, our attention span is so limited. It's amazing. Just stand up this morning. That's good. Go ahead and start singing. Get the PowerPoint up. every heart I've ever had. God, you know what each person's going through. We're all going through our own thing, our own battle. Lord, I pray for deliverance in this place. I pray for healing. Healing from the inside out, not from the outside in. God, as you get inside of us, you are transforming the world. Songs of you as we lift our hands.